All right, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful fall day, this Reformation Sunday, as we look back at just church history and truths you have preserved so that we can be the faithful Christians, hopefully, that your word tells us we should be because of what Christ has done for us. Bless our time now as we just study different denominations and appreciate the multifaceted differences from all your children, and help us to understand what are the truths that are absolutely important and others that are preferences, so that we may worship together, recognizing ultimately, if we are Christians, we are all part of one body with Christ as our head. In his name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, glad you're all here. Last week we looked at Ephesians 4, verses 4 to 6, which talked about one faith, one body, one baptism, just the unity of the body of Christ. Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, we are all one in Christ Jesus. So once again, it's not your heritage, your people, your blood, which during Paul's day, that was very important to the Jews, of course. And then 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, the body of Christ, the church universal, or the Catholic, small c, Catholic Church, which just means universal. And so the birthday of the church, most scholars would believe, and I believe the Bible teaches it, it was on Pentecost when 3,000 believers came to faith and the church was born. A couple more denominations definitions. Does everybody have one of these? All right. Somebody that, Scott, you're part of the youth department still. Would you have some more of these? Please bring them back. Don't throw them away. Anybody that needs one. And Lee, these do have pictures. So get Lee one. Because after today, we'll really be using that as our outline. A couple more introductory things that I'll talk about. So first of all, a definition. Denomination, that's not a word that's in the Bible per se, but turn to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. And actually, and Tammy, would you like to introduce your friend, alleged friend? And I'm sorry she lied to you. This is the way I always dress. Sometimes I wear a lime green tuxedo with a ruffled shirt. So you're underdressed. No. Goodness, no. Mike's probably got shorts on, so this guy up here. Good to see you, Mike, again. Back from Branson. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 3. We looked at 1 Corinthians and a lot of the divisions in a very secular church that Paul had to write a lot of theology and, you know, correction of behavior. But then this is part of the correction of their division. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 3. For you, Corinthians, are still carnal or fleshly, for where there are envy, strife, my translation, and divisions among you, are you not carnal, fleshly, and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, And another, I am of Apollos. Are you not all carnal or mere men? Verse 5. So the idea of, you know, looking to, I like that preacher. I like that preacher, you know, type of things, divisions. Verse 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now that doesn't mention the word denomination, but even during Paul's day, you can see people already starting to sort of separate themselves. And the word denomination, like I said, is not really a biblical word, but it comes from a Latin term, denominari, which means to name. Denomination, to name. And if you look on the back of your shiny glossy pamphlet, there are, what are Christian denominations? And in that first paragraph, in a strict sense, a denomination is a group of congregations that associate together and have a formal name by which the group is known. In a looser sense, a denomination may be churches that share a similar heritage, and there are thousands of those, especially Baptists. Baptists breed. As in the Baptists. They can also be limited administrative organizations with affiliated congregations, as the Southern Baptist Convention. Working together, denominations might have hospitals, universities, mission agencies, seminaries, publishing houses, and provide disaster relief. In fact, a lot of our Ivy League schools, the first colleges founded in the U.S., were basically church schools built to train ministers. You know, tell that to Harvard today. And then it goes on. You can read that. But a lot of denominations don't associate with their names anymore, which, you know, is sort of a rise of, you know, cultural things that we won't get into. But like, you know, this is a non-denominational church family. And I love our name, Community Fellowship of Christians. But a lot of the old, you know, First Baptist or churches now like those catchy names of, you know, Cornerstone or Ascend Church. And then down in very small print on the bottom, a Southern Baptist Church. So we, a lot of times, hide the name of the denomination. That's just, you know, our society today. And then some denominations, appropriately, started with disparaging nicknames. You know, so for example, the Lutherans, Catholics were making fun of those Lutherans, which they should. Tammy. No, because they were associated with Luther. And, you know, and that's became a badge of honor then later, where just like Christian, you know, was sort of a nickname for early believers. Christian, remember the I-A-N suffix. So Christ, Jun, back in biblical times, really meant of the party of. So a Christian was of the party of Christ. You know, it was a disparaging name, but, you know, now we're supposed to like the name Christian. So a denomination from the Dictionary of Christianity in America, an association or fellowship of congregations within a religion that have the same beliefs or creed, engage in similar practices, and cooperate with each other to develop and maintain shared enterprises. And so the three main branches, if you will, of, you know, we're just talking about the Christian church, not cults, not we won't be discussing, and I won't name names necessarily, but we're only talking about Christian churches, the three main branches, Roman Catholic, Orthodox, and Protestant. So, for one thing, also for Protestant, a little history and a little bit more when our guest speaker gets up today during the sermon. But Protestant comes from a verb meaning to protest, the Latin protestare, and means not only to testify. So it's not just negative, but it is to testify on behalf of something. The Webster's Dictionary, if you want the technical terms, and this is from a guy named Robert McAfee, The Spirit of Protestantism book, gives us a synonym to affirm. So, to declare formally in public, testify, to make a solemn declaration, the notion of a protest against error. So you can see how this is going to tie into the Protestant Reformation. The protest against error is sort of a secondary meaning. So in actuality, the word meat is charged with positive rather than negative connotations. To protest, then, in the true meaning of the word, is to make certain affirmations, to give testimony on behalf of certain things. So that's an important, I won't read all the dictionaries during the sermon, or our guest speaker won't. But it has a more positive to affirm something. And so we'll talk about that. Another word that is in the Bible is the word sect, with a C-T, Lee, sect. Army guys. Aren't you glad you're back from your trip? Remember, a pastor's role is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. So, the word sect comes from anybody want to pronounce that? Yeah, sorry, I'm in the way. Transliterated. What does that look like? That's where we get our English word heresy. So the Greek word heresy carries with it biblically the name of sect, which, it has a little bit different meaning today, but Scott, would you read Acts 5:17? Lector, Acts 24:5. Michael, Mark 3:6. Oh, you can't see now. Oh, you and Larry gonna, maybe next week, we'll see. George, Mark 3:6, and Lauren, Matthew 22:15-17. So here are some places this word, just so you can see how it's used in the New Testament. So who has Acts 5:17?
Acts 5:17. Then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, they were filled with indignation.
Okay. So the sect of the Sadducees, so they were one of the branches. Lector 24:5.
Leader of the sect of the Nazarene,
the sect of the Nazarenes. So during biblical times, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, the Herodians, which were, they were more political, you know, of the party of Herod, sort of a puppet ruler for Rome. So there were different sects. Today, if, for example, even the Jews today still have Orthodox Judaism, Conservative Judaism, and Reform Judaism. So you might call them denominations of Judaism today. And part of the reason I'm telling you this is it's not monolithic, meaning just because you're a Jew, you don't believe all the same thing. Just because you're a Baptist doesn't mean everybody believes the same. If you were here last week, we spent the whole time talking about what church denomination did you grow up in and why. And I think we saw mostly it was family or convenient or local. It wasn't so much because I actually, you know, I had to go to that church because of what they believe. Now, some people do, and we'll talk about some of the differences. But a church, assuming we're all Christians, that's one thing we can be a mixed bag of nuts here at CFC. And that's one of the, can be a very healthy, can be very distracting if people got hung up on, you know, very particular. And I'll show you a slide that Jan, I like that slide. That's helpful. Okay, who has Mark 3:6? Okay, so you can see two groups, you know, plotting against Jesus. Matthew 22. Okay, so once again, you know, Jesus putting up, you know, or being attacked, persecuted, opposed by, we might say, denominations, where Jesus, you know, I'm about the main thing. You know, I'm not going to get caught up in your political squabbles in the case of paying taxes to Caesar. So, and even in Islam today, you know, the main branches of Islam are Sunni, Shia, and then you know, you've got offshoots like Wahhabism. There are, you know, so even Islam is not monolithic. And here's, I like this slide. And this can sort of show how some of these denominations rose, but how they can get distracting. You know, the central absolutes, we might say, have to do with salvation and then a little bit of Christian orthodoxy. Main doctrines, years ago, did a sermon on absolutes, convictions, preferences, opinions. So this, oops. So that's absolute. A lot of Christian orthodoxy are absolutes, I would say. But then now we're getting into convictions. Then, you know, traditions, denominations, those are convictions, which is where we get a lot of our denominations. I mean, some very important topics, and it's important, I think, to understand those. But the minute we start squabbling about, not squabbling, but excluding other Christians because of non-essentials, now we're starting to get divisive in the way the body of Christ should not be. But they are very important. See, this is one thing that sometimes, like if you were here for those progressive Christianity sermons, you can water it down so much that it's just gooey nothingness. And no, we have to stand for certain things. And it's important to have views and be able to understand whether your views are absolutes or important or just preferences. In fact, I'll give you an illustration. I had a friend of mine, you've met some of you older folks, the folks that have been here for a while, you pillars or caterpillars of the church. And his personality, he made his bed. So, sometimes, I'm being persecuted. Well, yeah, because you're an idiot. You're bringing it on yourself. But a little bit of that. But one of the churches where he pastored, a lot of division, and somebody left $10,000 to recarpet the church, but it had to be this bright red shag. Otherwise, you couldn't use it because the color of the carpet was so important. Well, that money sat in the bank then because, And for those of you, anybody here with, I used to be Independent Fundamentalist Baptist. That's all one word. Independent Fundamentalist Baptist. And you laugh at this, but there were actually divisions among Independent Fundamentalist Baptists over whether your parking lot was paved or not. So if you're the liberal Independent Fundamentalist Baptist, you paved your parking lot. If you were the true believers, you didn't pave the parking lot, and you sent that money to poor sea otters somewhere. But that's what we can do when we don't understand the fundamentals. And that word fundamental actually meant something when that term arose back in the early 1900s. What are the fundamentals of being a Christian that you need to know what is important? So, convictions, then important but not essential. And those could be convictions too. And that's, important beliefs, but they're not essential for salvation. Then you get into pure speculation, not important. Those could be things like, I would put music here, where some people are so dogmatic. And there's good music, there's bad music. If it's not Baroque, don't fix it. So all you people, like that modern junk. But there are theological, some of the music that I would get a little. I try to be tolerant, but if it's good message, and good theology, because there are a lot of, modern songs that are almost like mantras. But then there are some old classic hymns from certain families, we might say, of denominations that are just pure me, Lord. Aren't you lucky to have me as your servant? And now I'm happy all the time. So there's a lot of drivel in songs. But that shouldn't be divisive. We should have clarity to recognize if that's good theology or bad theology. Like I said, the color of the carpet, paving the parking lot, the church, the order of service maybe, which may reflect some denominational things that can be very important. But if you're, I've had people, and I won't name those guilty, who have come up you know, where you didn't follow the order of service, and we forgot to do this, and wrong, you know, because we forgot this element, you know, we'll be lucky if any of us get to heaven. You know, there's a great church next door. So any questions on this? Larry.
Normally, the three main branches, the Roman Catholic, Orthodox, and Protestant, differentiate a little bit between Orthodox and Catholic.
Okay, that's what we're getting to. Yeah, this is still introductory, if you will, because I'm a little bit OCD. I've got to make sure we lay the foundation so that we know where we're coming from. But this hopefully, I like this, giving a little bit of an idea of, do we really know what the center of that target is? And a lot of churches fight about this stuff on the outside. How many, you know, you don't have to raise your hand, but, you know, how many of us have a bad church family experience because everybody was fighting over the color of the carpet? Steph, go ahead. And that's, yes, and that's what that salvation there, you could say gospel. And that's what we, in the sermon, our guest speaker will talk about. You know, what was one of the defining issues of the Reformation? All right, so one more slide here. Larry, this now, you well, you won't be able to see it, Larry. So why am I telling you? But this is on your, you have this, if you turn the, flip your page from the back, a family tree of denominations. And I have it blown up here for you. But the main branches, so, you know, in 1054, if you can see that, what was called the Great Schism, the Great Divide between the Roman Catholic, the Western Church under Rome, and the Orthodox Church under Constantinople. We'll talk more about it as we get into some of the actual beliefs of each. But that was a major divide back in 1054. And then, you can't see it, but Orthodox, there's Greek, Coptic, Russian, Ukraine. So there's a lot going on in Ukraine with the war between the Greek, the Ukraine Orthodox and the Russian Orthodox. So there's actually religious components to what's going on in world news. And then under Roman Catholics, then in right here was where you might say, well, that's the Protestant Reformation. Yeah, right here. Then that's what our guest speaker will be talking about. But branches like Lutheran, the Anabaptists, which are not the same as the Baptists, but they have some of the same doctrines that later showed up in Baptists. But the Anabaptists, nobody liked the Anabaptists. I mean, Lutherans, Catholics, the Presbyterians, the Reformed, everybody liked to kill the Anabaptists. And Anna means again, to be baptized again. So there were, you know, oh, so you want to be baptized again. And they would drown them to get rid of them because, you know, that's, nobody liked the Anabaptists. They were doing it wrong. They were heretics. But then out of the Anglican Church came around with Henry VIII, wanted to divorce his wife, was part of it. There's a lot more to it, but the presenting issue, might say, he wanted to divorce his wife, and the Pope, you know, needed the Spanish king to, you know, fund the church. There's a lot of politics, so he wouldn't grant the divorce. Henry VIII said, fine, I'll start my own denomination. And so the Anglicans have been called the Church of England just recently in the news. You know, King Charles III, the current King of England, is the head of the church. You know, he's a secular king, but he also heads the church. And he just appointed a female Archbishop of Canterbury. And she is the titular head of the Anglican Communion. But out of the Anglicans, then came congregational churches, those pesky Baptists, you know, and you could, I won't need all these names, but churches of Christ. And then another tree with the Wesleys in the 1700s, you got the Methodists, and then out of the Methodists, the Nazarenes, Pentecostals. So this is sort of a, and then here are some of the names of the different individual. Yeah. So Lutherans, we don't like the Catholics. Well, we're going to have a Lutheran church. And then pretty soon, well, I don't like those Lutherans, so we're going to start another Lutheran. And Joe, didn't you tell the, you've all heard this, but the guy on the island?
Oh, yeah. The guy was stranded for many years on the island, bound. He had three buildings that were built. Someone had to come up the building to where he lived. Two of them were right next to each other, and one was way over there on the other side of the island. This is where I live.
And there's lots of jokes about, you know, the you know, two guys that meet on a bridge, and they go through all these little arcane, obscure things when they all agree, until they got to paved parking lots. And then it's like, you know, they agreed on everything. So are you King James, you know, blah, 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 blah. Paved parking lot or non-paved parking lot? Well, I'm non-paved parking. Pushes him off the bridge. Die, heretic. So, unfortunately, you know, the Roman Catholics, you can see how they might look at us, those of us who are Protestants. They might say, see, this is what happens. Well, the Roman Catholic Church is experiencing a little of this too. How many of us, now we're going to start into the actual denominations, how many have Roman Catholic backgrounds? Or as a kid, you know, or anything? Maybe nobody in this room. We've got quite a few at our church family that just, you know, they went to a Roman Catholic church, you know, as a kid or whatever. So most of us are Protestants. So I'm sorry? Well, of course Mick did. No, but that's, but we're going to talk about this. And Bill, you did. Yeah, and that's cults, but you know, that's Roman Catholic, you know, and then we'll see how a lot of their differences, you know, I'm not, and once again, now this is going to be a very broad brush. We're going to use, you know, we have a little cheat sheet here that I've given you that hopefully will be helpful. Actually, before we do that, flip your page one more after the family tree, the current divisions and trends. Is everybody there? I won't read all this, but biggest divisions now probably are liberals, and we, you know, for the last three Sundays, we talked about progressive Christianity, but liberals and what are called evangelicals. Liberals view scripture as fallible, makes mistakes, and may question whether events such as the virgin birth or the resurrection, were literal historical events. Progressives typically go further, like we saw, questioning the concept of God as the personal creator and ruler of all, and they reject traditional Christian teachings about sexuality, gender. You know, they get more involved in horizontal cultural issues, you might say. Evangelicals, which is just a transliteration of the Greek word for euangelion. It's the Greek word for gospel. But evangelicals, it is almost getting to be unless you define it, that term means nothing. But they generally view Scripture as infallible or inerrant. Anybody want to hazard a guess the difference between those words? Infallible, inerrant. Okay. Inerrant, no errors. Infallible used to mean the word actually meant, you know, back when we had dictionaries beyond dictionary.com, infallible meant not capable of error. So it's actually a stronger term. But now in the church, with the rise of the fundamental modernist split, if you will, between liberals and what used to be called fundamentals, but now we call them evangelicals. Infallible came to mean God's word is infallible when it talks about faith and teaching. So you don't have to believe in 6 days of creation. You know, historical events are not important. It's infallible when it talks about our faith. And that's a big divide. I would hazard a guess most denominations accept that version of infallible, that it just means, you know, church, the Bible's important as long as it sticks to what it's supposed to talk about, you know, and we define what it's going to talk about. So infallible and inerrant, evangelicals accept all of its historical narratives as factual, and they typically hold traditional Christian views about things like sexuality, gender. And then the rest of that section talks about the rise of the black church. And so that, you know, that's an interesting from American history, you know, where a lot of the primarily black denominations came from. Over on the right, you've got sort of a pie graph about, and this is very recent, so this is probably pretty accurate, about the breakup of Christians. You know, look at Catholic is about a third. Mainline Protestants, that would be mainline denominations, which over on the left is United Methodist Church, Episcopal Church, PC, Presbyterian Church, USA, American Baptist Churches, Evangelical Lutheran Churches, United Church of Christ, Reformed Churches in America, Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, are traditionally called mainline in that, you know, if you want to know, we'll call it more liberal, those are going to be where those denominations all have female pastors, female bishops. They are more, I'm just going to use the word liberal, in that they are following under the liberal views to more or less of an extent. And so then sometimes you'll get a denomination that starts accepting more and more liberal views about the Bible, God, things. And then you'll get some folks that have had enough, and they'll split off and form a new denomination. So, for example, down in Springs, you've heard of First Presbyterian Church, big Presbyterian Church. And I believe they used to be part of the Presbyterian Church USA, United States of America. And because the PCUSA was moving left, so, beyond what they thought was appropriate, First Pres basically pulled out of the presbytery, the denomination, and formed their own denomination. And now there are several churches that are affiliated with them. So that's, that's what happens. And then unfortunately, like colleges, all institutions tend to move left. And so denominations, colleges, will start pure, but then we'll start moving, changing fundamental beliefs. And then a bunch of people will break off and start a new pure denomination. And pretty soon it'll start moving left. So for example, you'll have heard the names, but Princeton University. Princeton Seminary it was designed to train Presbyterian ministers. It started moving left. So, and I might have the order wrong, but Westminster Seminary, then, the conservative faculty moved to Westminster, and Westminster started softening on some Christian fundamentals. So then another out of Westminster, Gordon Conwell was formed, another seminary. And so, that's how we end up with so many different denominations in some cases. Now, I may have some of those names wrong, but that's, so those of anybody that has a mainline Protestant background, that's out of that background, other denominations like the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Well, they're a bunch of raving liberals. So the Lutheran Church Wisconsin Synod, they came along and, die heretics, you Missouri people. Show me you're a Christian. We're Wisconsin. We like cheese and brats. And beer. And then down at the bottom of that page, and that's, you get a lot of the rise of non-denominational churches. And that's an interesting movement because, I'm not happy. I'm too pure to be part of any of those denominations. I'll form my own church where I'm not accountable to anyone. And so on the news, a lot of times, unfortunately, you see big megastar, rock star preachers. Ted Haggard, if you remember him, down in Colorado Springs, where there's really no accountability to a national organization that keeps track of that, rock star pastor who gets too big for his britches. Nobody holds him accountable, and they go off the deep end. So a lot of in the news, at least the news I pay attention to, a lot of denominational stuff. Pastors being kicked out of churches, usually for money and morals, not doctrine, but sleeping with the church secretary. That's why George is your secretary. The piano player. I'm sleeping with the piano player. So non-denominational then are not, not being pulled by the denomination, but sometimes they can be very independent-minded, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. And that brings us back to Catholics looking at us Protestants in general. Yeah, you Protestants, you don't want anybody, any church authority over you. You just want to interpret the Bible any old way you want. And from their perspective, I can agree with them. But as we'll, I'll try not to insert my own views on a lot of these, but as we'll see, there are a lot of denominational teachings that I would argue are not biblical. So, all right, turn the page one more. I'm not going to go through these, but helpful words to know. You know, look at those on your own and come back next week. Or if you have questions about any of this, you know, let me know and I'll have Scott answer the question. You know, but also remember what I said. We're out of time now. So on these denominations, these are historic general teachings. So, you know, I grew up in the Presbyterian Church. Well, I didn't believe that. Okay. Part of the point of that target was these are not monolithic. And that was my point last week. A lot of us maybe don't even know what our historic denomination stood for. We just liked the church family. And I mean, to me, that's okay. But, you know, don't equate your beliefs. Well, that's not what I believe. I didn't say that was. But that's what Baptists traditionally believed. So you're out of step with your own denomination. So any comments, questions? Right now, I think we better stop. Good, sorry. But now we're done with all the prolegomena. So bring your shiny brochures. We will be looking at hopefully Catholics and Orthodox next week. So whoever asked that question, sorry, Larry got to come back next week. Oh, so you don't care. So you don't care. Well, I believe these are all recorded, aren't they? Yeah. So, Sue. Are you that old? Right. And see, there's a lot of history as to where these came from. Southern Baptists, which tends to be one of the more conservative, it's the largest Protestant denomination in the United States. But Southern Baptists split off from the Northern Baptists back in 1845 over the issue of slavery. See, so you got how national world events influence. Well, you know, Southern Baptists, we hold fast to, you know, we're very conservative biblically, but we want to have our slaves. So there's a lot of incongruity to a lot of these beliefs. But, you know, that's, and I'm not going to get into all the, you know, the 300 Baptist denominations. We'd be here forever. Why don't we concentrate on what the Bible says? Any other questions, comments, personal abuse? Everybody's hand goes up. You want a personal abuse? Come on, bring it. They are broadly what's called Pentecostalism and charismatic, and it's in the name, charis, charis comes from the Greek word for grace. But Andrew Womack it's his organization. So I could be wrong, but I don't believe they are not accountable to any denomination. Now they have a board, and the board genuflect to Andrew Womack, but they are independent, charismatic, Pentecostal, Bible college, and churches. They have a bunch of, they've started churches now down in Woodland Park, and they came up from the spring. So, yeah, good question, yeah. Any other comments? Sorry we're a little late here. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for just the multifaceted diversity that your church family is not boring. Help us, though, in our not boringness to maintain what's important, the ultimate worship of you biblically, the worship of our Savior, God the Son, who gave his life to make us your children, and God the Spirit, who indwells us, who should be bringing about unity so that we understand what is ultimately important for your glory as we live our lives, knowing we are complete in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. All right, thank you.